You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Great to see you. We're in Colossians chapter 1, and this is our series on discipleship. And I'm just going to do six verses today, starting at verse 24, Colossians 1. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become his servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Just going to reread verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ, or mature in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. I want to zoom in with you this morning on our discipleship journey that we're looking at all year, on this idea of maturity. I love that definition that Paul gives for discipleship, learning to follow Jesus, become like Jesus, doing the things that Jesus did. This idea we see in verse 28 of maturity. And I love the parallels we've been making in this series. The timing of God, his providence, is that we're talking about going deeper in discipleship whilst the Hope Center is being built. And last week we talked about how crucial foundations are. We look over there with the bulldozers and I just think, that's my life. It's a mess. And God is busy digging below the surface. And that's where God always does his best work. In the places that people don't see. In the invisible places of our hearts and our soul. And yet, let me just ask you this today. If this was still like this building site in 10 years' time, do you think that would be a good thing or a bad thing? Some of you'd want your money back, I'm sure. It would be a bad thing because similarly to our walk with Jesus and our discipleship, our lives were not meant just to have foundations. We're meant to build. We're meant to go on to maturity. We want to build lives where you will see the finished building. And this is what God is committed to in the trajectory of our discipleship and our following him, is that, yeah, foundations are super, super crucial, but actually we are to go on to maturity. We're to go on to bigger and better things. Christians are supposed to grow. We're designed by God to grow. And I love Paul's heart here and Paul's longing. And really this is our longing as leaders here in the church, is that all of us, everyone, becomes mature. Note that word, everyone. It's not just for the chosen few. Maturity is for every single person. So our longing, our desire, yeah, we want to build a church that sees, you know, great influence and expansion in our great city. And can I say congratulations to Hull City? Come on. Our prayers have been working. I said, didn't I, last year, I said, we're committed to building a world-class church. And now we have our rugby teams doing well. We have now our football. And I'm now going to get a season ticket, I think. Call me a glory supporter, I don't know. But our goal is, our primary goal is that all of us become mature. And I think in some unhealthy church dynamics and leadership, is often the leaders can keep the people at a certain place which is below them. And I've seen that over the years, and it's really, really unhealthy. And you need to know you're part of a church here where we're committed to doing things with health. And the leaders are longing and encouraging all of you to go past us. We're cheering you on to go beyond where we've ever been. And so that is our goal. And this is Paul's goal, is that every single one of us goes on to maturity. Let me ask you a question on this bank holiday weekend. Can I say well done for coming to church? It's hot. We should all be at the coast probably enjoying the sun. But let me ask you a question today. How mature are you? How mature are you? And to whom do you compare? So when you think about how mature you are, who do you have in mind in terms of comparison? Or let me look at it another way. Who is the most mature person you know? And the question is, why? Why do you think that person is mature? I mean, I'm going to be real with you this morning. There are some things my wife, who's not here, she came to the first service, would say I'm still a little bit immature on a few things. And I just think that there are some things I found funny when I was 16, I still find funny today. Can I get an amen? Can we be real in church? And even this weekend, I was at the coast, and there was about 100 seals on the beach at Flamborough on the coast there. And I said to my wife, I said, we're having a walk. I said, oh, what if I go to the cliff edge and have a proper look? And she said to me, John, you're not 7 anymore. Grow up. That's what I have to deal with behind closed doors. Grow up, you're not 7. Like, you will probably fall down there. And it made me think that, there are probably many things in our lives where we still act like 7-year-olds and 16-year-olds. But our goal as Christians is to grow up before we grow old. And it's not automatic in terms of spiritual maturity. It's really possible to be a follower of Christ, to be part of church life for 30 years and yet still be a 3-year-old spiritually. And vice versa. There are many people in our congregation, every single week people are finding faith. And you may think, I've just started out on this journey. And you could be a Christian for a year, a couple of years, and see such transformation, such maturity, that it can bypass people who have been a Christian for absolute decades. For a baby to have a bottle of milk is normal. But if you see a 60-year-old in a cafe with a bottle of milk, is it just me? Or that's a little bit weird, right? And yeah, spiritually, that's often the case. Christians who have been following Christ for many, many years and yet, as it were, still on the bottle. We are not supposed to stay on milk. We are supposed to go on to maturity. Look at verse 29. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. A beautiful, beautiful verse there. Paul is giving a secret to our discipleship and our maturity, and that is maturity is a both and process, not an either or. It is both the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives, as well as our partnership. And often it is about every single day, it is about a fight. It is about making difficult choices and decisions. It is about contending for the faith. It is about working out our salvation with fear and trembling. But and Peter talks about this in one of the letters. It talks about making every effort to add to your faith different things, but it also says about God's divine power at work in us. And often Christians can lean to one thing instead of the other, and we've got to hold that tension, hold that balance of both and. The word here, and we see it in the passage that I read out, for maturity, telios, is seen 19 times in the New Testament, and is interchangeable, as we saw with that word perfection, but that doesn't mean being perfect, okay? There are no perfect people allowed in this church. Can I just say that? Okay? We're all on a journey. And this is what Paul is getting at. It's not about perfectionism. It is about the sanctifying process of becoming like Jesus that happens over a whole life. It's this idea of a journey, of a process. And we see here in verse 28 that this Christ, who is the one doing the changing, is the one that we proclaim. Underline that word proclaim, verse 28. But we can't proclaim anyone unless first they have a claim on our lives. So mission and evangelism and sharing the good news of the gospel and Jesus Christ first comes from a place of where Christ has his claim on our lives, which is discipleship. All mission flows out of that place of what Christ is doing in our hearts and in our lives. And so let me ask you that today. Does Christ have full claim on your life? That you know you're his. That you belong to him. That you are set apart for a designated purpose. You have a call on your life specifically for you. And your whole life, all the days of your life, is for him, the king and his kingdom. For Christ and his cause. This is why we exist. And the key to maturing and going on this journey and being able to have Christ's claim on your life and also to proclaim this gospel, we see here in verse 26 and 27, Paul is alluding to a mystery. And as we've looked at, you know, Paul is coming against a lot of the talk of mysteries, the kind of the Gnostics speak, having special knowledge where people are trying to subtract away from Christ or add to the faith in an unhealthy way. And he's saying, no, there is a mystery which would have remained unknown unless God had revealed it to you. And so God, if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, God has, by the Spirit, made known a mystery to you. What is that mystery? And this is the key for maturity and transformation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see that throughout all of Paul's writings, this it's on repeat. We belong to Christ. We are in Christ. Christ in us. I love it how he puts in Galatians 4:19, until Christ be formed in you. What a beautiful picture. This is what the work of the Spirit is doing, what we're doing in cooperation, until Christ be formed in you. To have Christ formed in you is maturity. In other words, what Paul is saying, this is really, really important we get this. In terms of maturity, maturity responds to who you are, not what you do. The most important thing is not what you achieve, but who you are becoming. And it is so easy, isn't it, in Christian, the Christian bubble and the Christian world, to get sidetracked and think that it is our works and our deeds that are the most important thing. And we must get our gospel grammar correct. First of all, it's our theology, our belief in knowing who we belong to and that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. That is our position in Christ. And then out of our theology comes our biography, how we believe, how we behave. But that must always come out of the place and posture of what we first believe. And the most important thing in terms of who we are becoming is this idea of transformation. I have a therapist, you'll be pleased to hear, and I was talking to her last week, and she said this phrase, which after she said it, I felt like hanging up and just spending weeks in a darkened room, digesting it. And it was this: whatever you don't transform, you will transfer. whatever you don't transform, you will transfer. And I was thinking about the responsibility of life, you know, in terms of family, in terms of church, in terms of community and the people you're responsible for. And I think, do you know what? This is an added layer of vision for my maturity and discipleship. Whatever area I choose to not allow God to come in and transform, I will transfer and model that to other people. And so we've got to allow, and this is like, as I said last week, this isn't sexy preaching, this is deep. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit into those areas, those rooms of our life which we've locked away and is gaining dust and it's a mess. We've got to say, Holy Spirit, come into those areas of our life. You know, our vision, our mission as a church is home. We want to be a home for the city. And every home has many rooms. And I think one of the rooms we must have in this church is a changing room. And a changing room is a place where we allow people not to be stigmatized, not to allow their last choice to have ever been their best choice, but actually to know that every single one of us is on a journey where God, by his grace, by his power, is changing us. And thank God what I was last year is not what I am this year. And that there is a change happening in the innermost parts of my life, in our hearts, in our motives, in what is going on in our minds. And I think that the battle for maturity is huge in the life of a Christian because culturally, there's a battle for maturity. Culturally, adolescence, just think about adolescence, is being pushed further down the line than ever before. You know, there's this idea, you know, you have it with the kids, you know, I'm 18, I can do what I want. I'm not while you're living under my roof. That's not what happens. But this idea of adolescence used to be 18, it's now, in terms of the culture, we're talking in terms of the age of 25. The average user of young adult books is now in the 30s and 40s. And I'm in my 40s, and I don't think I'm a young adult. Unfortunately, I won't be allowed in the young adults night taskmaster thing. And yet, the main consumer of young adult books are people now into their 40s. And I think one of the reasons for this is, and I think the pandemic didn't help, is there's a lot of pain and trauma in people's lives. And that often can bring a delay to often emotional maturity in the life of a Christian. I'm thrilled in God's grace to be married to somebody who has a background in psychology, has training in psychology. I needed that, trust me. And you know, Joni and other counselors and psychologists will talk in these terms about how we have an inner child that represents the emotional and psychological imprint of our very early experiences. And for many of us, that's tough. For many of us in this room, it may have meant a lot of fear, a lot of rejection, a lot of pain, unmet needs, and there was a lot of injustice in your life. And that often brings a level of disorientation to actually the most important thing in life. The most important question is, who am I? And in answering that, it brings a lot of confusion. And then we have our adult self. So we have our child, inner child, and we have our adult self. And this is like, this is our objectivity. This is the rational me. This is like, I know the right answer. I know actually what one should do in this situation. And of course, healing occurs when our adult self reparents our inner child. So we learn in that moment to, and this is key, to respond in situations rather than react. So have you ever found yourself experiencing something and then this wave of emotion comes over you and you just want to react? And for you, it could be sending off a text or going on social media or having that conversation, which is like probably a bad time to have that conversation. and we often are self-critical and we self-sabotage in life and we have oversimplistic reactions to very, very complicated scenarios. Here are some of the symptoms that I found in our culture and certainly in our world in these recent years is we have emotional reasoning. So you may feel and say, I feel depressed, but you interpret as my marriage isn't working. And so we've gone from I'm feeling depressed to now a large, very, very important part of my life cannot be working because I feel a certain way. And so our reasoning, you could argue, is immature. What about catastrophizing? This is a big one for me. Who here is a catastrophizer? I am a level one catastrophizer. And it's a shadow side of who I am. I'm a creative, I'm a visionary, I'm big picture. And so I live with that, what could be, what's the next thing. High on accomplishment, high on responsibility. But the shadow side of that is that I catastrophize. So I make small things very big things. So like, you know, I've got a small pain. I'm on Google. Joni, hear my hymns, call the doctor. catastrophize, or we label, or we mind read. A number of you came into church even today, and even before someone spoke to you, you came with an internal narrative with, that person must think this about me. So already you're rehearsing a conversation even before it's hit reality. Immaturity in culture is one thing, but actually immaturity in the church is a whole lot worse. Because we feel it, don't we? We've got people in our church who are all different stages and ages and on their different trajectories of discipleship. We're all dealing with our stuff. We're all dealing with our brokenness and our wounding and our pain. And we're called to be family, brothers and sisters, and work this stuff out together. And so that is why there is so much church hurt. And church hurt is one of the most painful things. And often it is a battle for maturity. Now, biblically, if we look at some of the symptoms of immaturity, we see throughout the scriptures a number of things. We have, first of all, false doctrine. So Ephesians 4 talks about being tossed from one side to the next because of the winds of teaching, the different winds of teaching. Let me tell you what that looks like today. It looks like you believe a certain thing, you're walking in a certain thing, and then you watch a four-minute YouTube clip. And it's like, oh, I better change that. And we're tossed from one side to the other because of often just things we're picking up on online. Can't handle meat, Hebrews 5. We haven't gone from milk to meat because it's almost like we're overfaced. Our appetite and our capacity for the deeper things of God, we don't want that. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about how we don't see through the lens of Jesus, so we categorize and label people, and which is so often what our culture does. No self-control, no discernment, a slave to the opinion of others. All these things are spiritual signs of immaturity in the life of the church, and it can sabotage a church. This work of maturity that Paul is saying is our goal is about inner transformation. It starts in here. And that's why Paul, he talks about having joy. He's in prison. And he talks about how his sufferings of being in prison means that he's caught up with Christ's big story of suffering. The afflictions that Christ has suffered, now I'm part of that story. And he also talks about how his suffering is seen as a testimony for the church. So there's no self-pity. There's no immaturity when it comes to Paul. He's saying, look, I can have joy in suffering. I can have perspective in my suffering because of an internal work. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so often when we start on our Christian journey, maturity at the beginning is God dealing with our big sins, the obvious sins. It's amazing, amazing how many people come to faith and have had a lifestyle of, say, swearing or getting drunk, and then immediately, like overnight, that's like gone. It's like the transformative work of the Spirit of God in people's lives. But then, of course, it doesn't stay like that, and it gets really, really tough because God begins to then deal with those inner places and spaces, the heart, the motivations of our heart. But the idea that Paul keeps coming back to is this inner glory of Christ is spilling out into our behavior. That the kingdom of God is not a place, but actually it is in here. It is in our hearts being outworked. And I think Paul here gives us a clue in verse 25 of the key thing that should help us in this inner work of transformation, and it's the Word of God, Scripture. This is why as a church we love to open the Bible. This is why we're doing the Bible course. This is why wherever we are in terms of home groups or prayer meetings or whatever we're doing in the life of the church, we want to be spiritually mature. Therefore, we must have a high view of Scripture. We live in secular waters, don't we, where it talks a lot about autonomy. And the idea, if you break down that word autonomy as a compound word, it basically means a law unto yourself. So that can even take effect as we read the Bible. If we believe passionately in autonomy and we are a law unto ourselves, then even when we read the Bible, there are some bits that we struggle with and don't like and we dismiss. I always say it's those passages that as you read it, you need a Gaviscon. Okay, I'm struggling with this. I need a Rennie's just to help me digest this. But actually what the Bible talks about is freedom, not autonomy. Freedom. And freedom is always wrought from submission to Christ. Submission to the Lordship of Jesus brings you freedom. And that word freedom, a compound word, means both to be underneath and to order. So in other words, what he's saying is that true freedom comes through submission to Christ, which means that we rank ourselves under the elevated Word of God and the truth of God. So even those difficult bits, even those things that we go, wow, I struggle with that. We say, Lord, we submit under your authority. You know best. This is your word. And it's his word that is bringing us to maturity. And our vision as a church is that we become self-feeders of this word. That we're not here just teaching people the Bible, but actually we're helping you to read and understand the Bible for yourself and to discern the text as we read it. There are different stages we go through as we're growing up into maturity. My youngest son is 4, George, and he still now and again likes his milk bowl. And I'm hoping when we get to primary school, he won't have it anymore. But when he has it, it's responsive, it's reactive. It's to soothe him. And I love that early stage of being a baby Christian where it's like, you just can't get enough of God's word. And you're reactive and you're responsive and you're hungry. And the word of God, as it were, soothes you spiritually. But then you get older. And I've noticed so clearly the contrast with my 8-year-old Elsie, where she isn't on a bottle, but she needs, this is the best parenting tip for you, something called boundaries. Every parent in the room loves boundaries. They need predictable patterns of behavior. They need routine. They need systems. They need structure. And so that is all about them maturing. They're not reactive. They're not responsive in a way to their emotions, but actually they're learning to regulate their emotions and to actually be schooled by everyday rhythms in their life. This is what happens with maturity spiritually. And so a lot of people, they love to go from one church to another And they'll often say to me, look, I'm not getting fed here. I'm just not getting fed here. I need to go somewhere else. And I'm like, I think you've missed the point. Our goal isn't to come here and just get fed. That's part of it. But actually the real joy, and Paul talks about it in this text, is actually serving other people with the word. Actually, this is how we grow, is that we become a self-feeder, we become independent, and then the joy is I'm coming to my church family to give and to serve and to build one another up and to prophesy and to encourage one another. And this is why we come to church. And just the other day, my 8-year-old was struggling to cut some chicken off a chicken thigh. It's a bit tough. I'd cooked it, and I'm a rescuer, so I'm like, I just want to dive in, cut the chicken up, and give it to her, okay? Because that's just my nature. And my wife's a bit more self-controlled. She's like, no, you are not leaving this table. You are not having pudding until you've learned to cut that chicken up properly. And I'm like, come on, give the girl a break. I mean, she's just finished a term of school. And she's there and she's teaching her, like, no, you put your foot, you can do it properly. And I'm like, this is maturity. You're actually doing, I want to do what's good for her. My wife wants to do what's best for her. And what's best for her maturity and growing up is that when she gets to 30 and she's on a date with somebody that I have passed and they've gone through the check, the passport control, do you love Jesus? Okay, do you have a job? Do you have an income? Anyway, that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother series. Is that she'll be able to, at Nando's, cut up a chicken. That's what we want. And so friends, this is, let me encourage you, as you're growing in maturity, don't get dragged into this idea of being so responsive and like being here, there, and everywhere. Learn to be still. Learn to knuckle down, be committed over the long haul, to slow down, not to panic, and to actually allow that maturity to happen in your place. Most transformation, real transformation, doesn't happen at Disneyland. It happens at Calvary. This is a life submitted and surrendered under the Lordship of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.